This morning's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is God's holy word.
Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your holy word. We pray for your spirit to be upon us, within us, that we might continue to grow in our faith, to glorify you. In Christ we pray. Amen. I don't know how often any of us might read that account. We celebrate communion. Some churches celebrate it every Sunday, some once a month. We here at St. John's celebrate it seven times a year. Even at seven times, it can become familiar to us. And the challenge as we look at this passage is to try and see it for the first time. Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22 each contain an account regarding the Lord's Supper, or also known as the Last Supper. The Apostle Paul writes about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapters 10 and chapter 11. And in Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaks to the proper manner in which a person should both receive, should both approach and receive the elements of bread and cup. And Paul then places emphasis on the aspect of remembrance. We do this in remembrance. Paul writes, "This is my body, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." As a believer, as a Christian, participates in the sacrament of communion, the believer is engaged in a very spiritual activity in both the present and in the past. In the present sense of receiving the elements, and in the past sense, remembering what Jesus shared with his disciples when they had gathered in the upper room. Pastor and author Warren Wiersbe noted that when Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood," he did not transform either the bread or the wine into anything different. When the disciples ate the bread and drank the wine, they were eating bread and they were drinking wine. While these two elements of the sacrament have deep meaning, there is a simplicity about the Lord's Supper that we can cherish in our lives of faith. Bread and wine, ordinary elements of life, ordinary elements of the Passover meal, which Jesus was sharing with his disciples as he ate his final meal on earth. Ordinary elements that Jesus made holy in remembering his sacrifice on the cross for the redemption of all people. I've included an outline of Matthew 26, 17 through 30 on page 5 in the service bulletin as an outline that seeks to highlight the significant teaching points from this passage. First, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The feast was an annual ritual of the Jews as they commemorated the Exodus, how God had brought them out of Egypt with Moses as their leader. The whole meal was designed for them to remember God's provision and God's safety and God's redemption from the centuries of slave labor they had endured at the hands of the Egyptians. Of key importance in the celebration of the feast was the remembering the Passover lamb. That sacrificed lamb whose blood was used to mark the doorposts of the homes of the Israelites, so that the angel of death, as talked about in that 10th and final plague, the angel of death would pass over their homes. The Passover lamb was a sign of the safety God assured them from death on that night. So as the Jews celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread through the Passover meal, they were remembering the history and they were thankful for the safety God had provided them. That feast consists of an elaborate and symbolic meal of foods and various dishes. It's no quick meal. And maybe, I've already talked with somebody that held here to help with this, maybe we'll host a Seder meal during Holy Week, and that's normally done by the fellowship committee of the church, but we'll talk about that. I got caught on that this morning. I don't have fellowship committee down here, but someone was concerned. Is that the fellowship committee? And we will see. But hopefully we can observe a Seder meal and explore more of the history of that time. It is a meal of great symbolism. It's a time for faith. It's a time for family as they remember the past and that Passover lamb. If you can see the altar at the base, we have the Lamb of God. And he is bearing the flag of victory, the banner of victory, because God's safety from the grave is through our faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The disciples, they were there in this experience with Jesus. They thought they were just doing the ritual. And then suddenly during the meal, Jesus changed things. He added different words, and he used some of the symbols on the table to transform their meaning for us as Christians. Now, in that Passover meal, in those preparations, Jesus tells them, "My time is at hand. My time is at hand." Jesus knows what's coming, because he's doing the will of his Father, but his time is at hand. His purpose, his mission for coming to earth is about to be accomplished. And we remember that through the remembrance of the Last Supper. The setting of the meal, the atmosphere of commemoration and celebration. The Passover meal is a time of faith and family. It's a time in joy, in remembering the Exodus from slavery. It's a time of thankfulness, of remembering and worshiping God. And then, as I said, suddenly, Jesus alters the mood of the meal. Betrayal. "One of you will betray me." That's not going to be in the minds of the disciples. Betrayal. And as you read closely, each one of them begins to wonder, "Is it I?" Now, we know from the accounts there was one amongst them that knew he was going to betray, but why were the other 11 questioning? What was going through their mind? What did they know about betrayal? How were they defining betrayal? That should cause us to think about, how do we or have we ever betrayed Jesus? Peter denied knowing Jesus. He denied being one of the 12, and Peter's denial can be seen as betrayal. Do we ever deny or betray Jesus? The faith answer is yes, when we sin. When we sin. So all are guilty, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have redemption. We can be restored through these elements. The bread, the simple bread, blessed and broken and given. Take, eat, this is my body, Jesus says. Before he goes to the cross, the disciples are trying to figure it all out, but they have this illustration that the body of their Lord was going to be broken on the cross. The earthly, physical body of Jesus. So as Jesus broke the bread to give to his disciples, they know and we know his body was going to be broken on the cross. And the battered and broken body of Jesus would see his blood shed on the cross, symbolized by the wine, the cup. The blood of Jesus of the new covenant, shed for many, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. Note, it's sins, it's plural, it's multiple. What sin, what sins do we struggle with? Do we need to confess and ask God's forgiveness for in our lives? In preparation to observe and celebrate the sacrament of communion, a believer is called to confront their own sinfulness, to confess their sin, asking for the Lord's forgiveness. And in verse 29, it's the reality of Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension. Because as we celebrate and observe the sacrament of communion, we know it in the present and we look forward to it in the future. Because Jesus, the Lord, promises a sharing of the Lord's Supper one day when he has gathered all people who believe in him to himself. The promise of sharing the Lord's Supper again someday with Jesus. And then verse 30. They sang a hymn. In the Passover, they sing songs of faith, songs of praise, songs of worship, most notably from Psalms 113 through 118. And then scholars believe the last hymn that they sang was the great Hallel, which is the praise of God, from Psalm 136. Because as they left, it was a time of worship and it was a time of praise. A time of worship and a time of praise. In the sacrament, we are reminded to be in constant worship and praise of God, who is our provider and who is our Savior. To think about that Passover lamb and how the Israelites were saved from the angel of death. We are saved from death through the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ our Lord. Certainly a blessing to worship and to praise God for. Amen. In the sacrament of communion, we're obviously going to hear the words of Jesus one more time. May we listen and hear with fresh ears. Communion is a joyful feast of the people of God. Christ was born to be the Savior of all, a light of hope to the world in need. And as the Magi came from a far-off land to worship and adore, so we too come to worship and adore. Let us gather at the table of our Lord, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who seek forgiveness and who wish to be reunited with him and with one another, are invited to receive this sacrament. So as we come, let us clear our minds and clear our hearts, clear our souls. Let us truly confess our sins, the sins that we have committed. Let us confess anything that keeps us from a right and true relationship with God. Let us confess. God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, hear our prayers as this new year begins. Lord, we confess the sins that we've thought or done, seeking your heavenly forgiveness, seeking to be cleansed, to be washed anew through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Through this sacrament, may your Spirit transform and renew our souls and our lives and strengthen our relationship with you. In his name we pray, amen. In the confession of our sins, through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and through the love of the Lord, Scripture promises forgiveness of sins to those who confess and trust and believe. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are redeemed through his blood. Amen. So while Jesus was at the table celebrating the Passover meal in the upper room with his disciples, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body. Take and eat." And Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, I pray your blessing upon these elements. I pray your blessing upon all who receive, that they will know you and know your forgiveness and know your peace and know your strength, that we will worship and praise and live for you. In Christ's name, amen. I invite our servers to come forward. The body of Christ, broken for you, remembering him, take and eat. the blood of Christ, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Remembering him, take and drink. May this Holy Communion be the living blessing of God's love and acceptance of all his people, as promised through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Experience his peace. Amen.
We've been challenged to live a life committed to worship and praise. Let us rise together as we're able and sing number 372, Living for Jesus. After the spoken benediction, we can sing verse 1 of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, number 376.
To be saved in all.
throughout this day and the coming week, may you experience the true peace of Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen.